We pray. Heavenly Father, bless us that we might be a blessing to all around us. Bless us through the power of your holy word, that your light might shine in our hearts, souls, and lives. Bless us with your truth, your forgiveness, your grace, that we might be your children and walk in the light of your grace all the days of our life. To you be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Have you ever wanted, in the middle of one of my sermons, to jump up and say, "Pastor Hermanson, what in the world are you talking about?" Well, if you're ever tempted to do that, don't. I'm an old man, it'll give me a heart attack. But I wonder whether James and John might have not wanted to do that when they were sitting in the grass with Jesus. Think of the setting of our gospel lesson here. People had left their fields and their cows and their kitchen tables and stoves, and they just put that away for a day so that they could be with Jesus and listen to the teacher. Where he went, they went. He went up on a mountainside. They followed with him. He sat down in the grass. They sat down with him. I wonder if they have blankets or baskets full of fried chicken or what, but I suspect that the whole crowd was absolutely silent. What would the teacher say next? Maybe in their anticipation they were waiting, I bet you he's going to say how wonderful we are, that we have given him this day, that we've set aside time for him. Maybe he'll tell us how pleased God is with us. At least he's going to remind us that we are the chosen people of God. Of all the nations in the world, we're his favorite. And actually, we're the ones who came out. All those people who stayed home, who didn't have time for Jesus, we certainly must be better than them. But notice that's not the direction Jesus went in. Philip and Andrew might have been absolutely shocked with the direction Jesus went. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, those lowly ones. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." That's God's definition of being blessed. We wouldn't wish that on our enemy, really? To have all those troubles is really the good life? We certainly wouldn't write on a birthday card, "Happy birthday to you. May you truly be blessed with a poor spirit." That wouldn't fit. Or in a New Year's card, "Happy New Year's. May your next 12 years be filled with blessed mourning." Or 10th anniversary. "Oh, may the next 10 years be lowly years. May you hunger and thirst every day." Now, don't jump up from your pew and say, "Pastor Hermanson, read the rest of the sentences. He's talking about being blessed by being delivered from all those troubles and heartaches in this world." All right, I'll read it. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Very true. All God's children are blessed as God delivers them from all the trouble and heartache that comes with living in a fallen world. It's hard. There's pain all around. King David says that in the Psalm 2, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Jesus, however, here in the Sermon on the Mount, isn't just talking about all the hard things we might have to go through in this world. He's focusing more on delivering us from the burdens in our soul. He He's talking about hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And so it's very important that we understand how blessed it is to have a heart created new by His Word. That's truly the blessed life. All of our sinful natures, everybody's sinful nature, loves to hear sermons about how wonderful we are. How we are just becoming better versions of ourselves. That we're really basically good people. We just have a few minor flaws. We're not bad people. I don't think Jesus would agree with us. No, Jesus first blesses us with the law. He uses that heavy hammer of the law to break that coconut of our sinful pride to get deep down inside. He comes and calls a sin a sin and calls a sinner, and fills us with terror of the threat of going to hell because of our sin, so that He might break through and help us to see just how poor in spirit we truly are. We are poor beggars. Spiritually, we are bankrupt. We might be billionaires in this world, but we don't have a penny of merit or worthiness to offer to our God. Our souls ache because in every corner of this world we see nothing but sin. Everyone does what is good in their own eyes without regard to God or His Word or even right or wrong. If I think it's what I want to do, that's validation enough. And living for ourselves always destroys us and our marriage and our family and our country. And we're living under the effects of that. All around us, people are intoxicated with power, with control, with their own opinions. We're swimming, we're rotting as we swim in a river full of drugs and alcohol. We swim in an ocean of money and possessions, materialism, stuff that becomes our God. And often there's an unquenchable fire brewing within us, burning within us, a fire of anger or sex that will just not be put out. And then what does God do? He comes and picks up that mirror of the law and shines it in our face. And what do we discover through His law? That all those sins out in the world are the very same sins in our heart of hearts. We too are sinners and fall under His condemnation. And we're blessed to see it. We mourn along with Adam and Eve from that very first moment they rebelled against God. They mourn the loss of their relationship with God. It was so beautiful, and now there's just a big hole, an emptiness. They lost that perfect relationship with Him, and all their ancestors since have been feeling the pain of mourning that estrangement, that hole, that absence of God in our hearts and lives. And so we live a life of mourning, and there's nothing we can do to regain that relationship, to go back to that Garden of Eden where everything was holy and perfect. The law convinces us of our guilt and convicts us to the dungeons of hell, and that truly is a blessing upon us. The world might praise us, but God doesn't. Before Him, we have nothing to boast about, and that is good. It's good because we're blessed when the law does its job on us and gives us no excuses, no hiding places. We are sinners. And so a thirst, a hunger is produced in us for righteousness beyond our ability. It's much like when Peter was falling into the water, drowning. All he could manage to say is, "Jesus, save me." And so we are pushed to that extreme too. Jesus, come and save me. And what has Jesus done? He has saved us. For after God has blessed us with the stern words of the law, he comes and blesses us with the sweet comfort of the gospel. Your sins are forgiven in the blood of Jesus. Did you notice the difference between the first four blessings in our text and the next four blessings in our text? Jesus started out with, oh, blessed are the poor in spirit, but then he switches tone. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How did we go from being poor in spirit to being pure of heart? Well, it all turns on the one who's talking to them. He's the one who changes it all. Jesus isn't telling them on that mountain how for them to get right with God. He's explaining how he is the Savior and all the blessings he comes with, all the blessings he's going to bestow upon his people. We sinners can only have a pure heart when our hearts are washed clean in the blood of Jesus, when we are bathed in his forgiveness. You see, the same God who said, let there be light, and there was light by the power of his word, also called a new person and created a new person in us through the power of that gospel. He said, be baptized. And in that, the Holy Spirit created something that wasn't there before. The believer, the Christian, the child of God. And in that baptism, he folds us like a letter inside of an envelope. He folds us into Jesus' death on the cross. And Jesus picks us up and carries us out of his tomb with him. And we go from the darkness of the tomb into the glorious light of his resurrection. We have salvation and peace. And he's done that all himself. And oh, how that glorious gospel that has created us new spills over into our hearts and lives and into our families and our marriage and our nation. We mourn over our sins and we rejoice that God has given us a pure heart. From these new hearts that he's given us come the ability to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful. The mercy that we have received from God now becomes our gift to others. Blessed are the peacemakers. We who by nature are always in war become the peacemakers because of his eternal peace that he has put in us. Now we can have peace with those around us. Blessed are those who endure insults and hatred and injury for the name of God. As he has sacrificed for us, so he empowers us to sacrifice for his name, to sacrifice for the blessing for those who are beating and insulting us. He blesses us to be fountains for him, fountains of mercy and truth and love. That's why our quest is that the world might know how wide open God's arms are to welcome everyone, by how wide our arms are open in love and mercy. What we hope and pray for is that our families might know just how loving their Savior is by seeing how loving we are in his truth and in his grace. God is our great peacemaker, and so he calls for us to put aside the anger and the bitterness and the strife and live peacefully with everyone. Blessed is the heart created new by God's word. It's interesting. They were sitting around having a casual day, sitting in the grass with Jesus as he was teaching them. Did they realize at that point that this is God sitting with us on this mountain? And did they realize that this very body that's sitting next to us now is the very body that will be stretched out on a cross and nailed to it, all so that he could pour out his holy blood to bless us here in this world and forever in glory? What does he say will be their blessings? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They will be comforted. They will be filled. They will be shown mercy. They will see God. They will be called sons of God. Even the angels can't claim that. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow. When everything is said and done, the blessings just keep on going. We will be comforted no matter how impoverished and beaten down and empty and miserable this world is. He promises us we will be comforted and filled. There will be nothing lacking, nothing short, filled to overflowing with his love, his grace, his power, his goodness. They will be shown mercy. Mercy and forgiveness. Their sins will be remembered no more. And they will see God face to face. It's hard to even imagine what that will look like, the glory and brilliance of our Savior. And they will be called children of God. Who are we that we should be adopted into the family of God? But there it is. A wonderful family and home in heaven. Blessing upon blessing. And so no matter what trials, what suffering, what persecution we must go through in this world, how difficult and bitter it may be, we still can claim that we are blessed, the blessed children of God. And so our prayer is that all of us might be able to rejoice, as it says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Wow. A reward so great that we're even rejoicing here on earth to think of it. But it's not a reward we have earned. Jesus is the one who's won the victory. We share in his reward. Both the Savior and those who are saved banquet at the same table, feast in the same celebration of his grace and mercy, rejoice in his loving salvation. As the days grow dark and the end comes near, how much more we need to grasp a hold of that life-giving word, that word that has created us new and sustains us and blesses us each and every day. Hold on to it with all of our might. For he, through that word, he has blessed us in the past. He's blessing us in the present, and he has blessings yet that stretch out into all eternity. We are the blessed children of God because Jesus is our life, our light, and our very great reward. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. In you, we truly do have a blessed life. You have showered your blessings on us day after day, and we look to you for every good gift. Guide us ever onward, dear Lord, and may our hearts reach heavenward, for you are the one who have called us by name and made us your own. In you and in your light may we have our being, now and forever. Amen.